Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. I am not Lori Siebert. My name is Dan Banks. I'm filling in for Lori this evening. I'm the president of Silvercrest Insurance. I've been in the insurance industry for 25 years. The past 17 years specializing in Medicare insurance plans. I started Silvercrest with the idea that an independent agency with access to many plans and plan options would best serve the Medicare beneficiary. As an agency, we do not charge fees to meet. We're paid through the insurance companies, and it does not cost our clients additional money. Now, I've actually been on the show in the past. I come on a couple times a year, and usually around this time, which is we're getting into the annual enrollment period for Medicare. So Lori likes to have me come on and we discuss that because many of you out there may be on Medicare. You might have parents on Medicare, and we want to get that information out to you now before it gets a little crazy. So with me, I have Jennifer Weiss, who's an advisor with Silvercrest Insurance. Jennifer began her career as a life insurance agency for American Income Life. She's been serving our clients now at Silvercrest for over 2 years. She's married to her husband, John, and together they have a beautiful son, Elias. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me on, Dan.
You're welcome. Glad you're here. So again, tonight we're going to be talking about the Medicare annual enrollment period. We want to touch also on the ACA annual enrollment period, which is the Affordable Care Act in Pennsylvania. The ACA is done through PENNY, which is the Pennsylvania Exchange. And if you're not familiar, the ACA is for individuals who do not have coverage through work or a spouse's work. And if they need individual coverage, they're not eligible for Medicare. That is what PENNY is for. And as an agency, we've been working with those folks for a few years as well. So we'd like to touch on that. But initially, we want to talk about Medicare. There's a lot of things going on. There's been some changes, and there's some things people need to know about. But first, we're going to just get into a little bit about Medicare, just pick it apart and give you some information. And then we'll go into some of the rules and regs with the ACA. So first of all, Jennifer, you're meeting with clients each and every day. As many of you know out there, Medicare can be very complicated. So what does a new, what does it look like when a client comes in as a new client and you're sitting down with them for the first time?
So sitting down with a client for the first time, the first thing we want to do is help them sign up for Medicare. We will have them come in. We will find out what their specific needs are, medications, and then from there, we will help them enroll in the plan that is best suited for them.
So basically, like a three-step process. And how long does that typically take? Do you do that in one or maybe two meetings?
Typically, about two meetings it takes to get them set up.
Okay. And, you know, as somebody becoming eligible for Medicare for the first time, what would you say in terms of the timeline? How soon before they turn 65, or let's say they're leaving employer coverage after age 65 to go on Medicare, how early do you think they need to come in and see us?
So they can start the process 3 months prior till the 65th birthday.
Mm-hmm. Would you advise that they come in at 3 months? Some people like to get started early. What if they want to meet, you know, 8 months before? Is that okay?
They can, but some of the plans might be different from the time that they are ready to become eligible for Medicare.
Before they actually sign up
Correct.
For coverage. Yeah, that makes sense. So let's get a little bit into, you know, Medicare itself. As you know, Medicare is an alphabet soup, and it's very confusing for most people. So let's go through the parts of Medicare. Can you take us through that a little bit?
Yeah, Dan. So there's several parts to Medicare. The first two parts is Part A and Part B, which is the foundations of Medicare. Mm-hmm. Part A covers your hospital side of things, and Part B does cover your medical side of things, such as your doctors and outpatient coverage. With your A and B combined, that is called Original Medicare, which is that red, white, and blue card that you will have.
And now I understand there's a cost for Medicare. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Part A usually is no cost to you if you've been at least working 40 quarters, but Part B is what you will be paying to Medicare, which will be based off of income. Mm-hmm. Typically, the standard is $185.
Right now, and does that change each year?
It can, yes.
Okay. Now, we know that Part A and Part B don't necessarily cover 100% of the medical costs. Is that fair to say?
Yes, absolutely.
So what do people typically do in lieu of, you know, to add to that coverage to make it more comprehensive?
Yeah, so Medicare doesn't cover 100% of your out-of-pocket costs. So you would need an extra coverage, which could be either a supplement plan or a Medicare Advantage plan to help cover those extra out-of-pocket costs.
Okay. So take us, I imagine, well, we know that probably the biggest decision they're going to make, would you say that's choosing between those two types of coverage?
Yes.
Okay. What's the take us on down the left side, if you will, for what's called Original Medicare. How does that work?
So Original Medicare consists of all separate plans, all separate premiums. Mm-hmm. So you would have A and B, your supplement, which covers the medical side of things. And then additionally, you would have a separate drug plan, which is known as Part D. And then optionally, you can have a dental and vision plan, which is apart from Medicare.
So it's sort of the a la carte menu.
Yes, all separate plans, all separate premiums, yeah.
Okay. And then Medicare Advantage plans. How does that work?
So the Medicare Advantage plan is very similar to regular health insurance. It's combines your A, your B, your dental, vision, hearing, and prescription all in one plan, all one premium, and you pay in co-pays.
Okay, so you have some cost sharing in the Advantage plans. Now, in terms of like what costs more to have, what would you say the costs are in either case?
So Original Medicare is usually the most costly route versus the Medicare Advantage plans.
And why would you say that?
So the supplements with Original Medicare do give you more comprehensive coverage.
Mm-hmm.
So it is more costly. And then the Medicare Advantage plan, it is usually a lower premium. But again, like I mentioned, you do have copay, so you pay as you go.
Well, give me an example of the premium under a supplement plan.
So the premiums typically can range from $100, $140 for the supplement alone. And then a Medicare Advantage can range from no premium to about $60 a month.
Okay. So the one thing you said there, no premium, I know that typically tends to trip people up a little bit. And we're going to put that on the shelf for a minute and talk about the supplement. Now, in addition to the supplemental premium, is there a premium for the prescription plan?
Yes, a separate premium.
And what do they average, you think?
They can average from $0 to about $140.
Wow, that's a range, huh?
Quite a range.
Okay, we might need to dig into that a little bit. Let me just kind of recap that. So we have the Part B premium, we have the supplement premium, and we have the Part D premium. So there's three different premiums there. And then in addition to that, you might need dental, vision, hearing, is there an extra cost for that?
Yes, there is an extra cost.
And what would you say that is?
About $40 to $60, $70.
So on average, you think if you do original Medicare with a supplement, a prescription plan, and a dental plan, you're maybe $350 a month?
Yep, around there.
Okay. So we're gonna go to break real quick, and then when we come back, I got Jennifer Weiss here, and we're gonna talk a little bit more Medicare.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
For the past three decades, WDIY has sustained itself through direct contributions from listeners. Our model is simple. The people who listen to the service are the ones who support the service. As WDIY celebrates its landmark 30th anniversary, we invite you to join us as a WDIY member by making a membership gift today. This is something you could do right now to make a meaningful difference in your community. Call 610-694-8100 extension 4 or online at wdiy.org.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. I am not Lori. I am Dan Banks with Silvercrest Insurance. I'm here with Jennifer Weiss with Silvercrest Insurance. She's an advisor with Silvercrest, and we're talking Medicare tonight, and we're going to get into some Affordable Care Act as well. So we're just breaking down the different parts of Medicare here, give a little insight into that, and then we want to talk about the annual enrollment period for Medicare, which actually, today's a pretty important date, would you say, Jennifer?
Yes.
And what is today?
Today is October 1st, where all of the updated plan information has become public knowledge.
Yeah. So that's a big day for us in the Medicare world. We get to start sharing that information with our clients. And then when can clients start to enroll?
So clients can start to enroll in their new plans starting October 15th.
Okay. So that's a little foreshadowing. We're gonna rewind back to the parts of Medicare, and we'll get back to that. But just wanted to mention this special day because it's a day where all the advisors, they like to look at the new plans, and now we can start talking to people. So we were talking about the different parts of Medicare. And again, there's two distinct choices between the coverages people can get, because we know Medicare A and B do not cover your health costs at 100%. They don't include any extra coverage for dental or vision or prescription plans. So on one side, we have original Medicare A and B, with a supplement that has an additional cost, with a prescription plan that has an additional cost, and with a dental plan, perhaps, if you add that, that has an additional cost. But the advantage is that the coverage can be quite comprehensive from a medical coverage standpoint. Is that fair to say, Jennifer?
Absolutely.
Okay. So then on the other side, we have Part C Medicare, Medicare Advantage. And you said those premiums can range between zero and on up.
Yes.
Now, how does one have a zero premium plan?
So one can have a $0 premium plan, basically because the Medicare Advantage plans are subsidized through the government. So okay. They are able to set their premiums at no cost, mm-hmm. which is very nice for the client, of course. And they're able to make their plans very beneficial. They have a lot of extra benefits with the plan, so that's a pretty nice added bonus.
Right. And that we do find that clients really do like that the premium is zero or can be zero, not all of them are, and that they do have the extra benefits in there, which are quite popular. One thing to keep in mind again is those plans are subsidized by the federal government. So the rules for the companies themselves is that the plan has to, and this is a big word, of course, actuarially be the equivalent to Part A and Part B Medicare. So in a nutshell, would you say they probably chop up those benefits in a blender and kind of spit them out like a traditional plan? And in what format are they
So the format they would be mostly is what you're probably familiar with when you're working is HMO and PPO plans.
Right. So it looks like your traditional commercial coverage that you might have had when you're working. And again, the benefits cannot be any less than Part A and Part B Medicare from an actuarial standpoint, but often they exceed that because insurance companies are good at being insurance companies and they are good at weighing risk. At least, yeah, hope they are. So we found that to be the case. Now, again, the difference in, you know, we get this question a lot, and I'm gonna throw it at Jennifer. What's better? What should people do, and what do people do?
It all depends on the person's personal needs. I think deciding what coverage is best for you is really based off of your own medications, your own health needs, and determining what kind of coverage you want to have that's going to best suit you.
Right. So right now, what would you say the percentage is of people you meet with that go with this traditional Medicare and supplement versus a Medicare Advantage plan?
I would say it's pretty 50-50 right now.
And you know what? That is the trend in the country. I did a little research, and the Kaiser Foundation has people signing up for Medicare Advantage plans at a rate of 54% versus traditional Medicare. So it's relatively even with the trend going in favor of Medicare Advantage right now. Now, you know, I've been doing this quite a while, and I've seen that trend has been, you know, it's gone in different directions, but right now it's on the trend in the increase. And so that's where we're at. But like Jennifer said, I think it's really determined by the person. And as an advisor, what would you say your biggest role is?
My biggest role is leading them into the right direction as to what they're taking medication-wide, who their doctors are, and what they feel more comfortable going with. And depending on what route they choose, I do help guide them into the better options of either one of those routes.
So in essence, your role is to educate them and just to help them make the best decision for their own individual needs. And we can't necessarily put them in a box.
No.
No. So with keeping that in mind, what if they sign up for one versus the other at 65? Or of course, you know, if they have coverage through work, right, they can work, they can continue to have their employer coverage if they work or their spouse works, not have to sign up for Medicare. Is that true?
Correct.
And then be able to sign up for Medicare later.
Yep. Yeah.
So is there a big difference between someone going on Medicare at 65 or someone going on Medicare at 70?
I would say not too much of a difference. Someone who is just freshly turning 65, I would say the process is a little bit easier to signing up for A and B in Medicare.
Right.
Someone coming off of employer coverage after the age of 65, there is some precursors that they do have to show, like proof that they've had credible coverage,
yeah,
which is another document that they do have to provide. But I would say the process can be pretty smooth for both if they do things in the right manner.
Yeah, so one thing that we've often advised people who are going to work past 65 is each year you'll get a credible coverage letter from your employer. And, you know, so oftentimes employers are switching coverages, and you want to make sure you keep those credible coverage letters on file because you may need them later. And if you're 72 years old looking for a credible coverage letter from 5 years ago, that might not go so well, especially if you change jobs. So we can talk a little bit more about that and then the eligibility and the transition from either direction. We're going to go on break, and we'll be right back with Jennifer Weiss and Dan Banks from Silvercrest Insurance.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. on the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY presents Lehigh Valley Hollywood Squares, a live game show experience like no other. Join your favorite local celebrities for a night of laughs, trivia, and high-energy fun, all to support the station you love. Tickets are on sale now. Don't miss this nostalgic interactive event that's perfect for all ages. Mark your calendar for October 28, 6 p.m. at the State Theater in Easton and help keep public radio strong. For details and tickets, visit WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. Again, I am not Lori Siebert. My name is Dan Banks. I'm filling in for Lori this evening. I'm with Silvercrest Insurance. We specialize in Medicare and the Affordable Care Act. And I have Jennifer Weiss here in the studio with me. We're just we're going over the different parts of Medicare. We're talking about the enrollment process. And we're going to get into some of the changes coming up. The annual enrollment period for Medicare tends to be a very big sort of a feeding frenzy, which, you know, as an agency and an agent for years, I find it to be just a little bit unfortunate because I think it stirs up a lot of anxiety in people. And, you know, we're here to try to keep people calm and get them going in the right direction. Jennifer's been doing this with us now for a few years, and she's very good at it. It's why she's here. And I can tell you, she gets a lot of compliments and Google reviews that, you know, that people really like her, and we like her too. So we were just talking about the enrollment periods and coming off of the enrollment, and it's a little bit easier at 65 because you don't have to prove the credible coverage. We don't want to make a huge deal out of that, but it is wise to hold on to your credible coverage letters, and you know, and then the process is just slightly different applying for Medicare after 65. But when a person is turning 65, because that's the majority of people going on Medicare at this point, would you say, so if they're collecting Social Security, what happens?
So if someone's already collecting Social Security and they are turning 65 and going on Medicare, their actual Part B premium will automatically be taken out of the Social Security benefit check every month.
And do they have to actively sign up?
They don't have to actively sign up. If someone's collecting Social Security and they're turning 65, they will automatically be enrolled in Medicare A and B.
Now, what happens if they're not collecting Social Security?
Then they would have to go ahead and start that process in enrolling in Medicare on their own.
And what does that look like? Is that something that they do online? Do you have to fill out paperwork?
So they can do it online through ssa.gov, or they can fill out the forms in person and then take them to a local Social Security office to get processed.
In your experience, what do you think is better?
I say probably doing it online is a little easier, but sometimes depending on a situation, it can be a bit quicker if you take it to a local Social Security office.
Yeah. And I think, I believe what you're referring to is that if they're up against the clock, and they need to step on the gas, sometimes it's better to walk it into the source, where if you apply for Medicare, so let's say a person's turning 65 in April. When's the soonest they can apply for Medicare?
January.
See, that's like a math problem.
I know, you have to like count back 3 months before then.
You have
then
to count back. So you actually have the 3 months prior to the month of your birthday. Here's a good one. What if your birthday's on the first day of the month?
Then it would be effective the month prior.
Yeah. All right. See, Jennifer, you know a lot. That's a tough one there. I thought I was going to get her on that one, but it, you know, there's all these little nuances with Medicare, and I can tell you after all the years, I learned something new almost every day. So if someone's turning 65, let's say their birthday is April 14th, they can begin to sign up January 1st.
Correct.
Would you advise them to sign up as soon as they can?
Absolutely. Depending, just because of the fact that the process could take longer than usual, and you just want to be safe than sorry and make sure you have everything set right on time. And some people like to get their stuff in, you know, ahead of time just to feel secure that they have everything that they need when they need it.
And sort of a little off topic, but I want to mention, you know, and I'm not sure how many of everybody watches the news these days, but I think we might be in a little bit of a government shutdown right now.
I did hear about that.
Yeah. So that's happening now. So for those of you who are becoming eligible for Medicare, it's even more important to get your ducks in a row. Now, we're not trying to scare anybody, but we've gone through this before. It does cause a little disruption, and we want to make sure, just like anybody else, that you're getting your coverage the day you need it. One thing with Medicare and any insurance is you don't necessarily need your insurance card to be covered at the doctor. You can prove eligibility through the insurance companies. Medicare will make your coverage retroactive if you had your application in, but it does make people quite nervous not to have their card. So we as an agency, really want to emphasize for the procrastinators out there, don't procrastinate, because, you know, then all of a sudden it becomes a pressure cooker. Is that fair to say?
Oh, yes.
And that face I'm looking at right now has the experience of that written all over it. I've had it quite a few bit myself. So we want to encourage people to get their applications in as soon as possible. And then we're pretty good at getting your plans up and running the day it needs to be. But the A and B application have to precede that, or we're not able to process things on time. So just a little word of advice there. So just going back a little bit, so we were talking about the differences between Original Medicare and Medicare Advantage. Let's get into the annual enrollment period a little bit, because we are right here. We mentioned that earlier. So the annual enrollment period, can you give us the timelines there, Jennifer?
So the annual enrollment period starts from October 15th till December 7th.
Okay. And in that time, what kind of changes can people make?
So during the enrollment period, a person can go from Medicare Advantage to a supplement. They are able to switch their plans to a different plan, drug plans. So this is basically that time where they're able to make switches that they need to make.
Okay. So if you have an Advantage plan, you can go from one Advantage plan to another. If you have a Part D drug plan, you can switch that plan. If you have a supplement plan and you want to go into a Medicare Advantage mm-hmm. plan, that's the time to do it.
Absolutely.
What if they have a supplement plan and their premium rate has been going up and up and up? Would this be the time for that?
So for your supplement, you actually can change it at any time of the year. And we typically do advise to do it outside of the annual enrollment period just because it's so crazy busy. We advise doing it the other months because you can do it anytime and it's a much easier and smoother transition.
Right. So because Medicare supplements, and we'll get into a little bit of this in terms of health, people want to know what they can switch to and switch back if they decide to go into a Medicare Advantage or first or a supplement first. How does that work? We'll talk a little bit about that. But during the Medicare annual enrollment period, if you need to review your rate for your supplement, it's generally not advisable at that point, because when you switch supplements after your initial 6-month open enrollment window, when you turn 65 or when you get your Part B, whether that's at 65 or through a special enrollment off an employer plan, you have 6 months to get into that supplement with no medical questions. After that, all bets are off, and you do have to answer questions to switch your Medicare supplement. That's on the Original Medicare side. So we'll clarify that a little bit as we get out of the break, and we'll be right back.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back, everyone. Dan Banks here from Silvercrest Insurance. I'm with Jennifer Weiss, an advisor at Silvercrest Insurance. And by the way, if you want to find us, we're online at silvercrestinsurance.com, silvercrestins.com. I forgot our own website. Is that crazy or what? You can Google us too, but we are out there. We're online. So we're talking Medicare and we're talking the annual enrollment period for Medicare. And it's very topical because we're in that time. And these last couple of years have been a couple big years for Medicare and changes in Medicare. Some in a good way and not all in a good way. So there's been some good. There's a little bit of turmoil going on this year. And a lot of that stems from the Inflation Reduction Act. And we're not here to be political. It was that act was passed to cap the prescription drug costs for people who have expensive medications, and that's a good thing. But it also caused a little bit of upheaval in the prescription drug plan market, and that runs through Medicare Advantage plans because they have the prescription drug plans embedded in the plans. And so the insurers, they have to adjust for those reduced costs inside of the plans, and that in itself is a little wonky. And then at the same time, we're still having a little bit of a COVID hangover. So back in COVID, a lot of people were delaying their medical procedures. They were staying home. They weren't having the hip replacement or, you know, certain medical procedures that weren't life and death. And so the claims were very low in that year. And they have slowly crept up and up and up. And we're in a climate now where medical claims throughout, not just Medicare, but the whole insurance industry, the whole health insurance industry, those claims are, I don't want to say an all-time high. I can't say that for a fact, but they are very high. And again, it's causing a lot of upheaval in the market. So that's going to reverberate through Medicare and so we want to make sure that people out there are reviewing their plans in this time. So this time of year, people should have gotten, there's a very important document that you should be getting in the mail. Jennifer, what is that?
That is your annual notice of change.
Your annual notice of change. And what is that telling us?
So the annual notice of change is the letter that is telling the client, you know, exactly what is changing with their plan specifically. That could be either premiums or benefit changes. And it's a very important document to kind of know what your plan's future holds.
Right. So that document is more specific to Part D prescription drug plans. If you have original Medicare with the supplement, or if you have an Advantage plan, you'll get that document with that plan. And so it's going to tell you the changes from this year to next year. And there's one, there's a change happening first of all, you would get that document by law. It's supposed to come in your mailbox before October 1st, correct? So usually it's going to show up sometime in September. So if you haven't read your annual notice of change, if you're on Medicare, dig through your mail. It's there somewhere because I guarantee you, depending on the company you're insured with, you may have a surprise. And there is a very popular company in this area in Medicare Advantage that is actually terminating many plans and not re-signing people into new plans. As an agent and a broker, we're not really permitted to talk about specific companies and benefits in a radio broadcast. We have to be able to do that in person and with the permission. There's a lot of rules and regulations we have to abide by. But let's just say there could be a cross or a shield in your plan. It's possible. I don't know. But look at your annual notice to change, because what's happening, well, Jennifer, what's happening with some of these folks?
So for some of these folks is that the plans, depending on the carrier they're with, is completely being terminated, and they would be without a plan by the end of the year if they do not make a switch.
Right. So in other words, they're terminating their plan. They're not re-signing people into a new plan, and they are the person, the insured, has to sign into a new plan by what day?
Technically December 31st.
December 31st. So if you have one of these plans and you've gotten a notice like that, your period extends beyond the traditional 7th of December, and it goes to the 31st of the year. Now, if you don't re-sign into a plan, you don't completely lose coverage. You're going to lose that plan. And then in January, you're going to have
the open enrollment period specifically for Medicare Advantage plans.
Right. So you will go back to original Medicare. You won't be completely without coverage, but you'll lose your prescription plan and any extra benefits in your Medicare Advantage plan. So it's very important you check those notices. It's impacting probably about, I'd say, maybe 15 to 20% of our clients. So there's got to be a lot more throughout the Lehigh Valley that are running into that. And it's very important you look at that. Now, again, if you end up in that situation in January, you still have a few months to get back into a plan. It's just you want to make sure you do that, or you're going to have original Medicare for the entire year. So be careful. So I have a question that came in from Robert in Allentown. His question is, I'm working and over 65. If I resign from my job in the middle of the month and do all the necessary paperwork, does Part B kick in the middle of the month, or do I have to wait until the following month? There's a second part to this question, but we'll address the first one.
So your Part B would kick in the first of the following month.
Right, because Part B will never start mid-month.
Correct.
And most insurances will not start mid-month. And if you are in this particular position and you are thinking of resigning, and I know we can't always choose when we want to, you know, turn our desk over and, you know, peel out in the parking lot, but I would try to get your Part B application going sooner than later, so you're not, you have a little bit more than just a few weeks, but it's doable. And that might be one of those situations where you walk your application in and you're going to need your credible coverage letter. And if I have to wait, what advice do you have for those 2 weeks before Part B kicks in? I'm going to take this one as well, Robert. Generally, if you have employer-sponsored coverage, even if you resign in the middle of the month, your coverage is typically going to go until the end of the month. And you want to check with your whoever handles the benefits in your office on that one. I can tell you in our own agency with our own commercial group plan that if one of our employees were to leave in the middle of the month, they would continue to have that coverage until the end of the month. And worst case scenario, if you don't have your Part B application up and running by the day of the following month, you have COBRA to fall back on. And don't stay on COBRA for more than 60 days. That could be an issue. So COBRA is not considered credible coverage by Medicare. And if you go more than 60 days on COBRA after you work, if you're Medicare eligible, you're going to have a problem. So you're going to have to just trust me on that one. But thanks for that question, Robert. That's a great question. But Part B will start the first of the month. Just get your application going as soon as possible. So just getting back to the annual enrollment period. So we know that you can change your Advantage plan, you can change your supplement, or excuse me, you can change your prescription plan. Traditionally, you want to do that in the 7-week window from October 15th through December 7th. We were talking about that plans, some plans are being terminated this year. And again, we're not trying to scare people into a frenzy, but it is important that you read your annual notice of change and that you make sure you get yourself signed up into a new plan. And again, if you're in that situation, you have until December 31st to sign up into that plan for your coverage to start on on January 1st. Even if your application goes in December 31st, you will get the January 1st start date. Again, it just will be one of those situations where you're waiting for your card and everything to process, but claims will retro to the 1st of January. That's typically how insurance works, especially Medicare, where the rules are relatively well-defined. Would you say that's true, Jennifer?
Very much so.
Yes. So also for the Medicare annual enrollment period, there's been a little instability with prescription plans.
Yes.
You want to talk about that a little bit?
So there's been a bit of instabilities with the drug plans. A lot of big changes that have been occurring. And also it has been affecting agencies as well.
Yeah. And Jennifer's very hesitant to say, because she doesn't want to say too much. And again, that's how regulated we are. We can't just speak freely sometimes, but the fact of the matter is a lot of agencies, because of some of the cost cutting by the insurance carriers, they've taken agents out of the loop in terms of being able to certify and represent these plans. Not to our, kind of to our chagrin, obviously, we want to be able to represent as many plans as possible to give as much help to our Medicare enrollees as we can. And they're sort of tying our hands a little bit in this capacity, to where really we're only able to represent about half the plans out there, where in the past we could typically represent about 90% of them. And as an agency or an agent, somebody representing Medicare, our certifications, by the way, we're health insurance licensed by the state. And then we take a test called it's called AHIP, which is, what does that stand for?
Well, you got me there.
Oh, man.
I won't be able to answer that one for you.
I should know that. And that's about a 6-hour test. We take that for both the Affordable Care Act. We're certified through Penny. And then we take AHIP for Medicare. And each one of those certifications takes us about 6 hours. So we got about 12 hours of certifications between the two plans. I have to think of what AHIP stands for. It's not really important for everybody to know that. And I'm kind of embarrassed that I don't. I know it's health insurance. We know what the middle is. So that's how we certify. But then for each individual insurance company, we have to take their certification. So it's a lot of testing we do to be able to be independent and represent all of these different plans. But when the insurance company says we're not able to, we'll get to that a little bit after the break. And it just tell you a little bit more about how that ties us up and really, maybe the ill effects it might have in us trying to serve our Medicare population. And we'll talk to you about that after the break.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services, including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Tune up your week with a great variety of jazz music on WDIY, Monday through Friday nights from 9 to 11, offers many choices from the world of jazz, featuring traditional to modern styles, plus swing Sunday at 5 p.m. and improvisational jazz on the bridge Sunday nights at 10 p.m. Listen for new releases, interviews with artists, and information on upcoming performances right here on WDIY.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to Your Financial Choices with Lori Siebert. Again, my name is Dan Banks. I'm filling in for Lori this evening, who I hope is on vacation. I'm pretty sure she is. And I got to tell you, that lady works hard. She's like the James Brown of financial planning. And I just love her to death. I can't speak more highly of her, but she's taking a well-needed rest. And here we are, clogging up the airwaves tonight with Medicare. But I think it's important this time of year to talk about Medicare because, again, there are a lot of changes going on. By the way, the AHIP is America's Health Insurance Plans. And I should know that because I've taken that test now 17 times. So that's 17 years of taking that test. And I don't even have to look at the questions anymore. But don't tell anybody that. So anyway, we were talking about the prescription plans. And, you know, as brokers, our hands are getting tied up a little bit. We're not able to discuss the benefits, from a compliance standpoint of plans that we don't certify for. We're not legally able to go over benefits. And so we try to steer people in the best direction we can, given the tools that we have. So that's our challenge this year. Most of the Advantage plans are still, we're still able to certify for probably 90% of them and offer all the popular plans, the most, you know, with the largest carriers in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. As an agency, we're licensed in 12 states. We're Pennsylvania, Jersey, Florida, Carolinas, and numerous other states where we get to assist our clients. And, and Medicare is generally pretty similar from state to state with some variations depending on the state. But the prescription plans, because they've been at such a consolidation in those plans, I'd say it's like a double-edged sword. In a way, it's good because when I started, there were 30-some options, and it was a lot more confusing. And now they've pared those plans down to about maybe anywhere from 14 to 18 options in any particular zip code. And it makes it a little bit easier to pick a plan. You can always go to Medicare.gov. They have a plan finder tool. You don't have to set up a profile. You can research plans based on your zip code. You can enter your medications, and then they filter the results. Typically, there's a couple filters, but if I were you, I would suggest doing it by the estimated annual cost, which factors in the premium itself, the copays and coinsurance for your medications, and if there's any deductible you would hit in that plan. And you can also put in pharmacies so that you can see which pharmacies are preferred. You always want to try to stick to preferred pharmacies. You're going to get the lowest cost, especially if you have generics, because with some plans that have deductibles, the deductible actually bypasses the generics if you go to preferred pharmacies. And so if you go to a standard pharmacy, you're going to hit your deductible even on tier one and two generics, preferred and non-preferred generics. So just some of that stuff to keep in mind. Hopefully you're taking notes. And of course, like I said, SilverCrestINS.com, our website. If you have any questions, we're happy to answer it. We're not trying to rope you in and sell you things. We're really there to give you the best advice we can give you. So we're talking about the annual enrollment period. Jennifer, is there anything that you think we didn't cover with the annual enrollment period?
I would say when we look at plans starting October 15th through December 7th, the plans don't actually become effective until January 1st of 2026. Mm-hmm. So if we sign you onto a plan on the 15th, you're actually going to continue your current insurance till the end of the year, and then automatically the 1st of next year, that is when your plan will start.
Very good point. And do they have to cancel their other plan?
If they are on a Medicare Advantage plan, Medicare would automatically cancel that for them. And also for drug plans, Part D. If someone is switching from a supplement to a Medicare Advantage plan, they will be responsible for having to cancel their supplement insurance.
Right.
And also, we wanted to talk a little bit about when you start out with the supplement, and we sort of alluded to this a little bit earlier, and we ran off into a different tangent, but if you start with the supplement plan, let's say you have a supplement and you want to try a Medicare Advantage plan, how does that work? Mm-hmm. Can you go back to a supplement?
Absolutely. So if you start with a supplement and you want to try an Advantage plan, you do actually get a one-year trial period where you can try an Advantage plan for 1 year. If you like the plan, great, you can stay with it. Or for some reason you do want to go back to your supplement, we recommend giving us a 60-day notice so we can put you right back to your supplement to avoid the medical underwriting.
Mm-hmm.
If you do surpass that 1 year, then want to go back to a supplement, then you will be subjected to the medical underwriting questions.
Which would you say if someone had high cholesterol or blood pressure, is that a problem?
Not typically. If you're pretty relatively healthy and don't have anything major, because, you know, cholesterol, blood pressure, that's a typical thing you'll find.
Right.
But if you are someone who's going through something major health-wise, then that's where it can be a little risky being able to go back.
Yeah. So in other words, if you're on maintenance medications, which a lot of people are, I mean, as we all get older, we're, you know, Father Time, nobody ever be him, but we're going to go on some maintenance medications. That's not going to put you out of underwriting, but, you know, even about with cancer, God forbid, you, if you get through that, hopefully, and a lot of people do, what kind of time period do people have to be cancer-free typically?
Typically, depending, I've seen 2 to about 10, 12 years, depending on the insurance carrier they try to switch to.
Right. So I guess what's important to know there is the ability to go out to different insurance companies it enables us to, you know, one carrier may not accept somebody for coverage where another carrier would. And usually will run their medications through the insurance company underwriters first before we go through the process of enrolling. So just keep in mind, if you're on a supplement, which typically these days is an F, a G, or an N plan, so these letter plans, and you're trying to switch, and why would anybody want to change their supplement plan, just out of curiosity?
Typically price, since the supplements do have the guaranteed rate increases each year.
Right.
You know, a lot of clients want to switch to try and save money.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it can be whether they want to switch from like a G to an N plan just to have a little bit difference in coverage.
Right. So either way, they're going to ask the medical questions. Mm-hmm. That's after the first 6 months of your initial open enrollment when you first become Part B eligible. You know, at that point, that's the coverage you're going to have. But our experience as an agency is we're continually going back to our clients each year. In January, usually we start calling out to those people with the higher rates. We look at the date that they went on to coverage. And once you get past about 4 or 5 years on a supplement, you'll see that your rate might have started out as X, and now it could be, you know, anywhere from 50 to double. 50% to double what you started out with, because they compound those rate increases. And we try to review that, and we end up successfully rewriting quite a few plans. Mm-hmm. Each year. And that's and that's something we do. So again, that's something you probably want to do between January and maybe September at the latest. You'll have the smoothest transition because it is a process. Go into a Medicare Advantage plan. There are no medical questions. So you can always go to a Medicare Advantage plan in the annual enrollment period. We're just going to briefly touch on the Affordable Care Act. We've been talking about Medicare mostly the whole time. So the Affordable Care Act, again, that's the basically government subsidized. It's not always subsidized. It goes by income for folks that don't have individual health insurance coverage under 65. And Jennifer, when does that enrollment period start?
So it starts November 1st and runs till January 15th of next year.
Yeah, I think the government might have did that as a joke to all of us agents, because that's a crossover with Medicare. And so we're in the middle of two enrollment periods. But so it does run from November 1st to January 15th. Now, if you're trying to get a January 1st effective date, what's the last date you can sign up for the Affordable Care Act? December 15th. All right, Jennifer got that one wrong.
I got that one wrong. I take fault.
I think if we gave her more time, she'd have that one right. But I literally just took my penny certification the other day, so I still know. I have the dates in my head. So if you're trying to get on coverage for January 1st, you want to make sure you get your application in before December 15th. Otherwise, if you go after the 1st or after the 15th of December, your coverage effective dates will not become effective till February 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And if you sign up before January 15th, is that right? They go February 1st.
I believe so. See, that's where it gets tricky with all the enrollment dates.
We're talking a lot of dates here, and it's it does get a little confusing. But fortunately, we have computers that tell us all this stuff and keep it straight in our head. But as Penny certified advisors, we help walk our clients through that process. Some of the big changes in the ACA this year are that some of these subsidies are being reduced, so you want to pay close attention to your new plan and costs for next year. Don't overestimate your income, if possible, or you're going to give it back in the form of a tax refund or less of a refund. And so, you know, it is a little tricky to get signed into Penny. And again, as an agency, we help you do that. We don't charge fees. We get paid by the companies we help sign you up for on the exchange. And also, we don't just sign you up, love you, and leave you. We have a customer service department at Silvercrest that will help answer your questions along the way, so we can, you know, you don't have to call 1-800, I don't care, and talk to, you know, somebody in, you know, God knows where, Mars, I don't know. But we try to be helpful. So we really appreciate you listening to us tonight. We hope you got some good information out of the show. Next week, Laurie is back. She has a pre-recorded show for you on cybersecurity and ways to protect your information. She's going to have, as a guest, Rob Zibro, or it's Zeobro, and that's the show next week. That's a pretty cool one, because we know that's cybersecurity is a big deal. So again, thank you very much for listening, folks. We really appreciate your time, and you have a wonderful evening.